verses 15 through 16. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
Amen. Well done. Good job, Julia. Well, sometimes I like to start off my messages with kind of a funny story. At least maybe it's funny for me. So there's a true story about James Dobson. I don't know if you've heard of James Dobson. So one time he reports coming to a convent, and he saw a sign at the convent, and it said, "Absolutely no trespassing. Violators will be persecuted to the full extent of the law." Signed, "The Sisters of Mercy." It has nothing to do with my message, but I just thought it was kind of funny. So today I'm going to be talking about the title of my message is "Together with God We Can Do This." And let's say that together. Ready? Together with God, we can do this. One more time. Together with God, we can do this. One more funny story. So there are these two guys, and I don't think that's Nathan there, but there were two guys, and they were riding a bicycle boat for two. It's something you see every day, right? No. So they came to this long, steep hill, and it took a great deal of struggle for the men to make it up that hill. And when they got to the top, the guy in front turned to the guy in back, and he said, "Man, that sure was a hard climb." And the guy in the back said, "You know, yeah, I mean, if I hadn't kept my foot on the brakes all the way up the hill, we would certainly have rolled backwards." Reminds me of that, I don't know, movie called Dumb and Dumber. You know, they just kind of... So anyway, we really do need each other. And I think we can see how important it is that, you know, we can't be kind of putting on the brakes when we should all be kind of pedaling in the same direction. So we need to work together. And the church needs youth ministry, and youth ministry needs the church. We need each other. And we're all part of this. We're all part of his body. And when we look at Ephesians again, there's just three things I want you to remember. Number one is that God wants us to grow up into full maturity as a church. Number two, he wants us to be joined together in love. And number three, he wants each of us to do our part. So let me ask you a question today. Is youth ministry valuable? Well, I think it was valuable to Jesus. And the reason I say that is because essentially when Jesus started his ministry, he started it with a group of essentially teenagers, and he turned the world upside down. Jesus' 12 disciples were probably young. I mean, almost all were probably under the age of 18, and all were most likely bachelors, but for one. And as we look through the lens of historical context, as well as clues derived in Scripture, we find that in the time of Jesus, a Jewish man received a wife after the age of 18, and Peter was the only one known to have been married. Scripturally, no other disciples' wives were mentioned. Also, the tradition of education of the time supports the idea of a young group of disciples. Education for the Jewish child concluded at the age of 15, and for those bright or wealthy enough, higher education consisted of studying under a local rabbi. Now, if they couldn't find a rabbi, they accept them as a student. Then they entered into the workplace by their mid-teens. And in most cases, they apprenticed under their fathers and worked for the prosperity of their families. So most of the disciples were already apprenticing their trades, as in the case of James and John. So anyway, they were probably pretty young dudes, if you ask me. Anyway, if you ask me. So youth ministry helps us to stay fresh in our thinking and not become stagnant or too comfortable or set in our ways. In our culture, we are experiencing change that we have not seen in a long time. Not changes necessarily just in music or the clothes we wear or even the culture we live in, but a deeper structural change about the way we see ourselves and what truth is. According to youth specialties, here are five reasons why we need youth ministry. Number one, youth ministry is vital to helping teens integrate into a larger intergenerational community of the church. We can help the youth to understand the importance of connecting with the older generation in the church and help the older generation understand the importance of connecting with the youth. We can all improve in our ability to accept one another, despite our age difference, despite our personality differences. Number two, youth ministry can help the church to stay relevant in a changing culture. Teenagers may not have all the answers, but they definitely can raise some very important questions worth considering, and they can help us understand what really matters when we try to reach the culture with Jesus. Let's face the truth. We're adults and they are teenagers. Though we share the same roof, DNA, yet there's a cultural generational gap that will exist. And if we don't make an effort to love teenagers by working to close that gap, it will only continue to widen. We need to close the gap by helping them to discover and fulfill their unique callings, to be sensitive to any confusing concepts, feelings they may experience, and do our best to understand the unique pressures and problems and choices and issues they face in today's fast-paced and rapidly changing world. Young people are a gift to us. Have you ever thought of that? They're a gift to us. As the psalmist writes in Psalm 127, 3-5, and I like the way that the Living Bible puts it, children are a gift from God. They are His, or we could say, the church's reward. Children born to a young man are like sharp arrows to defend him. And happy is the man, or happy is the church, whose quiver is full of them. And so we pray that our quiver would be full of youth and children. Amen? So that man or that church shall have the help he needs, is what Scripture says. And it says even when dealing with the enemy. So there's something about the more we have youth on fire for God, the more we're defeating the enemy. Number three, youth ministry can be a doorway to invite those who are not already part of the church into a deeper connection to the church and to discover God's plan for all of mankind. So a good example of this that we have is Crash Zone. It's a doorway that God has given us into the world. And this year, we have five or six Crash Zone kids going with us on houseboats. So what an opportunity we have to help connect them to God and to the youth group and through the youth group ministry to the church as a whole. So let's give it up for houseboats. Amen. All right, number four. Youth are not marginalized members of the body, but should be co-creators and co-conspirators in the divine work of the church. Again, we need to work together, and we need to realize that youth are vital members of the church. And this is something that's kind of unique to the church. Where else in the world would you find this concept? Paul reminds us that all the parts of the body are necessary and essential for its survival. And I liked the way that Pastor Kim and the children, you know, gave us a very visual example of this. So let's just look at this in 1 Corinthians 12, 12-25. It says, just as the body, though one, has many parts, but its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, teenagers or adults. I just kind of threw that one in there. So we were all given the one spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. So, as the kids were showing us earlier, so if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would know, not for that reason, stop being a part of the body. That's a pretty good looking body there, isn't it? So it would not for that reason not be part. But if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, I love this, just as he wanted them to be. Isn't that a nice statement? So God, you are just where God wants you to be. And God has put the body together, giving greater honor to those parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. Amen? Okay, number five. Can I get a little drum roll? Okay, youth ministry helps the church focus on the ways of Jesus and the heart of Jesus, which goes beyond tradition and dogma and ritual. See, over time, the church ages. It can tend to get a little more formal in the way it operates and can lose track of the way that Jesus did things. Let me give you an example. So Jesus lived during a time of religious practice. But when it came to deal with real life issues, he handled it just a little differently. An example could be with Jesus and the woman that was caught in adultery. So the tradition of the day was to what? To stone her. But Jesus forgave her. And he said, "He who has no sin, cast the first stone." So they both hated sin, but they treated it very differently. So why did this happen? It's because the ways of Jesus can be very different than the dogma of Jesus. Teenagers can help us remember the importance of knowing who Jesus is and how it affects how we do things. So as the youth ministry, we need to be about lifting up the life of Jesus for the youth to see. And this needs to be also experienced in the way the church as a whole relates to the youth. And I believe that together we can do this for the glory of God. Let's say it again. Together with God, we can do this. And the key components for working together are love, acceptance, patience, honesty in love, and a heart's desire to learn from each other. Proverbs 11:14 says, "For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors." And I really love our advisors. Let's give it up for all our advisors. And I was thinking about this. Really, all of us are advisors, right? I mean, the kids can advise us in ways, and we can advise them. So we're all advising each other, encouraging each other. So both groups, adults and youth, need to be willing to listen to one another and willing to sacrifice something in order to make a stronger connection. As it says in Philippians 2:3-4, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. So I need to always be asking myself, how can I be more effective in reaching the youth? And we as a church need to ask ourselves, how can we show more support and make a better connection with the youth and with the leaders? So we also need to encourage the youth and give them opportunity to become more involved with the whole church body and to be made feel like they belong and that we really care to listen to them and understand their needs. I really liked hearing Kayla's testimony. That's what we need to hear, is the heart of the youth and understand where they're coming from and the importance of these elements that we have. So the reality is, and something I've come to discover, is that, we are primarily a Caucasian church, and we have a lot of people in their 50s and 60s and 70s. And we live in the middle of a very multicultural area filled with people of all ages. For instance, in Crash Zone, which represents mostly Hyde and Miller Junior High, we have a high percentage of youth from different cultures. So we need to be sensitive to this, and pray for God to give us some creative and new and unique ways to connect with these different cultures. Another thing is that what I like to do is picture right now is seeing this church and seeing the youth ministry as kind of like a new foundation, a foundation that now we can build upon. So God has brought us to the plateau, to a place, and now we can begin to grow from here. And that's an important concept to think about. And also we need to trust that Jesus can do things above and beyond our circumstances. And we need to think outside the box and believe a big God for big things. And big doesn't have to be based really on the numbers of people necessarily, or the size of our church or the building. But big can be just the difference or a change that we see in one person's life. So for instance, like I said before, we have maybe 5 or 6 Crash Zone kids going to Houseboats. So let's celebrate. Let's celebrate those who are going. Let's pray for them and make the most of the time that we have together. And not be so concerned that, well, how come there's not more kids going? We need to focus on and celebrate the positive wins that we experience and the things we do see God doing, no matter how big or how small. And focus less on some of the negative things that we don't see happening. And let go of our doubt, let go of our critical perceptions, and have faith in God. So let's say it again. Together with God, we can do this. So our church vision, sometimes it's good to be reminded of our vision. Let's say it together. To know Christ and make Him known. And our core values are radical hospitality, passionate worship, intentional faith development, risk-taking mission and service, and extravagant generosity. So our desire should be that those who grow up in our church will participate as youth, as students, but also through the rest of their life. So in order for this to happen, there needs to be a consistency of vision between the youth ministry and the congregation in order for this continuance to take place. So the aim of youth ministry should be to pass on the faith from one generation to the next. It's not always an easy job, but it is really what we need to do. And in doing this, we want to create lifelong followers of Jesus. And we want to sustain our churches as a place for future generations to worship and to grow. So there needs to be more consistency between the church and the youth group experience. And that consistency needs to be, of course, both theological and biblical in regards to vision and mission, but also needs to be relevant and adaptable to a new generation. So we also need to be, and this is just something that sometimes I think we take for granted, but we need to be building a youth ministry and a church that stays fresh and flourishes. I love this. Psalm 92 says, "Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in their old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing." The health and spiritual depth of a youth ministry cannot be just measured by methods or models or programs or marketing strategy or organizational structure. The real issue is the supernatural empowering of youth ministry and adult ministry, which occurs when it dwells in right relationship with its head, the Lord Jesus. And the spiritual integrity and character of youth ministry will ultimately determine the ability of that ministry to grow. So it's not wise for the church to pursue just kind of a corporate model, for when we emphasize doing over being, we lose far too much. The church or the youth ministry is different in that it has a spiritual life force. So part of our vision in youth ministry needs to be a desire, of course, to reach unsaved, unchurched people and make them into disciples that will reach other people and build Christ's church and extend his kingdom. So the vision is to build a youth ministry that honors the principles found in the New Testament. And the vision of our leadership needs to include caring for the youth and adults also that God has given us, and doing it in a scriptural and a spiritual manner. So freshness of spirit and soul can be cultivated and, if necessary, restored to the life of a youth ministry and its leaders and the whole church. Can I get an amen? Amen. So how do we do this? Well, it'll take time and patience. It'll take prayer. It needs to be authentic and not manipulated. It needs to be natural and not forced. It needs to be intentional but sensitive. And it needs everyone in the body playing their part. And it'll take some faith and some trust in God. But remember, let's say it together one more time. Together with God, we can do this. One more time. Together with God, we can do this. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you, God, for this church. And thank you for calling me here. And I pray that you help me and the youth advisors and the leadership and the whole church body to work together, that you would unify our hearts and our minds, that you'd fill us with love and patience and kindness and goodness, that all the fruits of your spirit would be flowing between us, God. Lord, we just have faith that you can do great things, and we just trust a big God for big things. So thank you, God, for all that you can do and all that you are doing, all that you have done, and help us to continue to be faithful and to know that we can be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in us will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen.